Television advertising can be very annoying, it can be very intrusive, but it can also be very informative. Long before the adverts appear on our television screens, the potential market for that particular product has been carefully surveyed and analysed, and in some cases, the services of psychiatrists and psychologists are employed because of their insight into human behaviour. The female market, I think, is always targeted with great precision, because keeping up appearances and looking good is a big market. Creams that can make your skin look young, creams that can prevent wrinkles, an anti-aging cream with scientific formulas we've never heard of before, are simply waiting there to embrace your tired skin. Behind the adverts, we're being told that people want to be what they used to be, youthful looking. They want to change what they have become and revert to what they once were. The product is selling youthfulness. If we place this in a spiritual context, we would not be discussing youthfulness, we would be discussing renewal. Renewal from the inside out. God changing people from the inside out. And a great spiritual renewal occurred in ancient Israel during the reign of King Josiah, who was regarded as one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. And we want to read about that this morning in the book of 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23. In the first two verses, we're told here that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So when Josiah ascended the throne, he was a young boy. But before he really took up his position as reigning as king, there were some godly people in his life who shaped his life, who influenced him, so that as he became king and began to exercise rulership in Israel, he neither turned to the right or to the left. He knew where the boundaries were, and he stayed on that straight and narrow path. Once Josiah began reigning as king, he undertook a huge refurbishing job of the temple. The temple had fallen into disrepair because Josiah became king after King Manasseh. Manasseh was one of the worst kings that Israel ever had. I just want to read a few verses here from the 21st chapter. In verse 1 it says that Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years. In verse 3, he bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. In verse 9, Manasseh led the people astray so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. Under the reign of Manasseh, things went horribly wrong for the nation. He led the nation astray. When Manasseh died, Josiah becomes king. And one of the things he does one of the things that Josiah does is to refurbish the temple. Now, what happened was that during the refurbishing of the temple, the book of the law is found. That would have been a major section of the book of Deuteronomy was discovered, because we saw that Hezekiah reigned for a little over 50 years. He led the nation astray. The word of God had been replaced, dumped aside. So when the refurbishing program begins in the temple, they find the book of the law. And when they find the book of the law, they read it. And Josiah responds in an extraordinary way. Just want to pick up some of the verses here. If you're reading along in your Bibles in chapter 22, verse 8 and verse 11. Hilkiah the high priest said, "I have found the book of the law." And in verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. In other words, when he heard what God said and looked at the type of life he was living and the nation was living, he tore his robes, which was an expression of repentance. You find that throughout Old Testament scripture, that repentance was expressed in the tearing of one's robes. Following on from there in verses 17 through 20, the scripture there says, Because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all their idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched, says God. Tell the kings of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because you, speaking here to Josiah, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what was spoken against this place and his people, that they would become an accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. God has said, because of your unfaithfulness, the nation will be punished. But God says to Josiah, because of your penitent heart, and I saw how you repented, you won't see the disaster that I will bring upon Israel. You will die before all of this occurs. In the 23rd chapter and the first three verses here, the book of the law is read. The king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple. Then the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of God. So the reading of the word of God was declared to all of the people. And there was the renewing of the covenant that they had neglected and had violated was renewed again. In verses 4 through 20, which I'm not going to read, I just want to highlight some of the things that had occurred during this great time of renewal. It's one thing to repent and to renew your heart, but true renewal will manifest itself in cleaning up all the muck and the spiritual dirt that you see all around the place. And that's exactly what Josiah did. Not only did he repent and renew his life, he then set about cleaning up all the spiritual debris that was all over the place. Just want to highlight some of the things he did. He took the Asherah poles from the temple of the Lord. He tore down all the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes. He desecrated Tophaz, which is one of their idols. He removed from the entrance of the temple of the Lord the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. And he burnt their chariots, which were dedicated to the sun. He pulled down the altars of the kings of Judah that they had erected. He also smashed them to pieces and threw the rubbish into the Kidron Valley. Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles. Even the altars in the high place he demolished. He burnt the high place and ground them to powder. Verse 19. Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places and that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. So not only did he make his life right with God, he sorted out all the spiritual corruption within the land, all of the idolatry that Israel had embraced. He destroyed it, went into the temple and cleansed the temple out, and then got their idols, didn't put them in safekeeping, but ground them into powder and scattered them. There is just going to be no way that these people can go back to idolatry. So there's a tremendous reformation taking place here under Josiah. He has been renewed, and then that renewal is expressed in cleaning up all the things that are wrong and so offensive to Almighty God. But another thing was began regarding his renewal. There was a renewal of true worship to God in verses 21 through 23. The king gave his orders to the people, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant. Not since the days of the judges who led Israel, nor throughout the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, had any such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. So the Passover, which was such an important thing to the Israelite people, had fallen into disuse and disregard. So he renewed the meaning and the significance of the Passover. And as the scripture there says, that Israel had never seen anything like this. But you've got to remember, Manasseh had reigned for 50 plus years.
and nothing spiritual happened under the reign of Manasseh. But once all of that had been cleared out, Josiah renews the covenant and reinstates the Passover and its significance, and there was never a celebration like that. What I love is in verse 25, as it speaks about Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. Tremendous man of God. There was not a king like Josiah who turned back to God. He just didn't make his own life right with God. He set about sorting out all the spiritual problems within the nation. And there was no one like Josiah. And so the renewal that came about was a renewal from the inside out. When we read an account like this, we have to ask ourselves, is there anything that Josiah says to us today? Here we are on a nice sunny morning in Dublin. Does Josiah's story have anything to say to us? Or is this a piece of ancient history that's tucked away in the Old Testament that's really irrelevant? I believe it's very relevant to us. There's a real application that can be made to our own lives, to our own renewal. I think the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do you want to be renewed? If the answer is no, God Almighty can't even touch you. We have to ask, do I want my life renewed? So that at the end of my life, what was said about Josiah can be said about you and be said about me. Do you want your life to count for something? Do you want to have a life that has a definite purpose and focus? Do you want to have a life that's definitely going in the right direction? Do you want to have a life that is significant? You can have all of that when it falls within the boundaries of God's word. God can and God will change the individual who desires to be renewed. God can change you and give you significance, give you purpose, give you direction, give you guidance. God can and God will do that to the person who so desires to be renewed. We've got to remember that God is our creator. He made us. He knows how we're wired up. He knows what our needs are. And God will come to our aid if we seek him. But do we seek him? That's the question. Not everybody in Israel sought God. Josiah did. Extraordinary when you look at Josiah and Manasseh. Similar in many ways. Both took up the position as kings, as young men. Josiah was 8. Manasseh was 12. Manasseh went all wrong. Josiah went all right. Why? It's down to choices. It's down to choices. Manasseh chose not to serve God. And yet into that ungodly environment, Josiah is born and lives a wonderful life for God. Why? He made a choice. Though I'm living in the midst of desperate sin, I choose to serve God. And so God is the creator and God can change our lives. And God can navigate our lives through this life. He can take control of our lives and lead us through life. You know, God can change our lives. He can shape us. He can transform us. That is such wonderful news. That nobody has to be a wreck of a person. You don't have to be that way. God can and God will change you. He can transform you. You don't have to be the way you are. I don't have to be the way I am. God is a God who can change us. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives that God can change your attitude. He can change your outlook. He can change your desires. He can change your ambitions. He can change your priorities. God can change all of those and bring them into harmony what his will is all about. God can do that. And lives lived outside of the will of God run into all sorts of trouble. But a life lived within the confines of the will of God, God can do extraordinary things in the life of that individual. I love Paul's words to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18, particularly verse 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And you say, but I can't change. I know you can't, but God can change you. It's not about us changing. It's about us submitting our lives to God and saying, Lord, renovate me. Do an overhaul in my life. Change me, Lord. I submit to your will. And God can and God will change lives. But we're transformed, as it says, into his likeness. I don't want to be like a gangster. I don't want to be like a bad person. I want to be like God. I want the image of God in my life, the attitude of God. I want to think as God thinks. I want the same outlooks that God has. I want to aspire to the things that God has in, on his heart. And God can change our lives to that direction. And we with unveiled faces, as Scripture says, all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's God working in our lives that brings about the great changes. Now let's return to our wrinkle cream and our anti-aging cream here for a moment. And I'm sure these products are excellent. I'm sure they are. But these products can only make you beautiful. They can only give you skin-deep beauty. That's it. It goes a few centimetres just under the skin. And that's what it does. And I'm sure it does a great product. I'm sure they do a good job. But they can't touch the heart. Get rid of the wrinkles. Give you young skin. Can't change your attitude. Can't touch your heart. But God can. God can get in at your heart and make you beautiful. Make you a beautiful person. Peter, in his epistle, love his comments here. He's speaking here to Christian women. You need to be careful and read this thing in context. And this is what Peter says here as he speaks to Christian women about how they ought to live their lives. Now, don't take it out of context. It says here in verse 3 and 4, he says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothing. He's not saying, he's not opposed to jewelry, hairdos and clothes. Let's get that crystal clear. But your beauty should not be simply composed of what you wear, what kind of hairstyle you have, and what kind of jewelry you have. He says, let your beauty be not just confined to something like that. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Real beauty, that more than skin deep, is brought about by God, who touches a heart and changes a life and makes a person beautiful. The person physically may not be particularly attractive. They may have age and they've got wrinkles and grey hair, etc., etc. But if God has worked in their lives, if they're displaying God in their lives, that is a beautiful person. And I think we have to underline this here. It says that the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's eyes or in God's sight. Pay close attention to the things that God says, that's valuable. Don't skip over the things that God says. See that? That is of great worth to me. What's of great worth to God? To see in the life of a woman, and the same thing would apply to a man, to see in the life of an individual, you know, the Christ-likeness, the gentleness, the beauty, the love, the forgiveness, all the characteristics of God being radiated from the life of an individual. God says, that's of great value. That's worth something. Now, there's no cream on the market can do that. And again, I'm not knocking creams. But there's nothing that can do that. Only God can get in there and anoint the heart and change the heart and change an attitude and change an outlook and change ambitions and make a person have his outlook and his ambitions. Paul tells the Corinthians, make it your ambition to please God. That needs to be our ambition, to please Almighty God. And when God sees that in the life of an individual, it really does make a huge difference in that person's life. And to God, that is a beautiful person. I've said this to the congregation before, and I'll repeat it. When you have opportunities, talk to older Christians. They all have a story to tell of their years and years of walking with God. They have a story to tell. It's something worthwhile sharing. And when you listen to older Christians, your life can be blessed immensely, because they've walked with God for decades. They've got miles on the clock. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. They know where the priorities lie. They're the beautiful people. They're God's beautiful people. They won't be on glamour magazines. And again, I'm not knocking glamour magazines. I'm finding myself being terribly defensive this morning. Maybe it's because of Christmas. I'm making sure that I offend no one. But one of the things that happened with Josiah, when we ask, where did this great renewal start? It started when they found the book of the law. That's when it started. When the word of God was found. And the word of God became the launching pad for this tremendous renewal that hit the country, that hit him first and hit many other people after that. It was going back to the word of God and hearing God speak to people's lives, which they had not heard for decades, because Manasseh had been there and there was nothing but idolatry and evil under the reign of Manasseh. And the word of God, see, it was lost. It's an amazing thing. You could almost say they lost the Bible, but that's what they lost. And when it was read in the hearing of the people were amazed at hearing what God has to say. And that's our starting place, is the word of God. That's what we have to get back to. If we need our lives renewed, we have got to be open to listen to what Almighty God has to say. Because God does speak to us through his word. We call it the word of God. Why? Because God speaks to us through his word. When you think about God speaking, you read the opening chapters of Genesis. God spoke creation into existence. With words, God spoke. And creation came into existence. God speaks to us today. And that same powerful word can transform and recreate and change us. He can take attitudes and outlooks and ambitions and mold them into what he desires. He's a powerful God. Scripture speaks about the word of God as being a living, active word, which is at work in you who believe. That is why we've got to expose ourselves to what God has to say in his word. And again, I will repeat, you need to make sure that the daily reading of God's word is part of your life. That you every day have a schedule whereby you read through the word of God. You hear God speaking to you. Make a note of what God is saying. Underline things in his word. God is speaking. And as you expose yourself to that, God is shaping and working in your life in an extraordinary way. When you read throughout Christian history, the great renewals, the great spiritual revivals that have taken place, always centered around the word of God. Martin Luther discovered a small little phrase in the book of Habakkuk. I won't even ask you to spell Habakkuk, but he figured it out. The just shall live by faith, and as a result of that, the whole Protestant Reformation breaks forth. The discovering that God saves people on the basis of faith, not on the basis of works. That was that one little verse triggered the whole thing off. The great awakenings that took place under John Wesley. If you have time, sometime, read the life of John Wesley, a man who is about 5'2" and travelled hundreds of thousands of miles in his 60-odd years preaching up and down England and all over the place. And historians will tell you that it was the preaching of John Wesley that diverted civil war in England, as hundreds of thousands of people were led to a faith in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the word of God. The great preaching of George Whitefield in America, and they speak about that time in America as the Great Awakening. And that's what it was. I read his life story. It was amazing under Whitefield's ministry. You know, the hundreds of thousands who came and listened to that man preach. And the same thing with William Wilberforce, What was it that brought slavery to an end? It was the preaching of the word of God and the constant proclaiming of God's word to a people who eventually said, this is unacceptable. Great man like Charles Spurgeon, when you read his life, it was always the preaching of the word of God that changed people's lives. And that really has to be our starting point too. The tragic thing that happened in Israel was that the spiritual rot was so deep within the nation that God's judgment still had to come upon the nation. The rot was just so bad, you know, that even though there was a temporary revival or renewal, it was not sufficient to divert the judgment of Almighty God. I was reading a wonderful illustration during the week when I was getting my lesson ready by a man named August H. Conkell. And he tells the story of an artist who painted the kind of the background to the book of Josiah and to Israel's eventual move down into Babylonian captivity. You need to try to visualize the painting as I read it to you. Here's how he writes it out, as he describes the painting. He said, it's the late afternoon and the sun casts a harsh shadow across the twisted landscape. A man stands at the side of an empty road with a suitcase tied together with a piece of rope. He stares across the road to an abandoned farmhouse, wooden walls weathered grey, roof falling in. In one corner of the painting is a bleached skeleton of a steer. As the man looks across the rutted road, he scratches his graying beard as if pondering something. The painting seems poised to tell a story. The tile on the wall reads, "The Prodigal Son." As Benton tells that parable, the prodigal has waited too long. The home that would have welcomed him has become a ramshackle ruin. The fatted calf that once would have fed a homecoming feast is now only drying under a tortured and unforgiving sky. The viewer may protest, this is not the way to tell the story. That is the story of Josiah, measured by the fate of the nation. Josiah reads like a story of too little, too late. And though there was a kind of a renewal, all right, within Israel, it was too little, too late. And the nation eventually was taken into captivity. And if we ask ourselves today, what do we have to do to renew our own lives? We don't want to be like the fellow who I've just read about, standing and looking at a ramshackle house and a steer there that's just been a skeleton left that could have been there for a celebration. If you leave it too late, you can't get back. You can't get back. Israel couldn't get back to God because the spiritual rot had sunk deep into their souls. If there was one verse of scripture that I would leave with you, it would be this. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today. We need to listen to what God says to us. We need to take on board what God says and let God change us. Let God renew us. You know, let God work in our lives so that he is seen in our lives, that we become more and more like the people he would want us to be. You say, but I'm so weak, I can't do that. I know, and you never will. But God will. God will. He's the one who does the transforming, the renewing. Our part to say, Lord, would you come and work in my life and change me? That's what renewal is all about. So may God bless us to, you know, commit our lives to asking God to renew every area of our lives. So at the end of our lives, we could hear people say about us, particularly God say about us, like Josiah. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. May God bless us to that end.